has some real fucked up shit to it.
Right, yeah.
What do you do with the fact that some people do genuinely suffer and improve or feel better when they take psychiatric medication? Are we just supposed to be like, well, their prescriber's ACAB, but I guess that's okay?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't, I mean, like, I think you have to I think, like, the understanding is, like, is such and such thing ACAB or COPPish. I wish there was, like, a word that described that. The word that people are looking for, too, is, like, fucking, it's carceral. Like, mm-hmm. It's that it replicates the function that the police have in being able to both monopolize violence and enforce it in the maintenance of the order of property rights. And there obviously, like, there are racialized elements within that. There are, like, patriarchal elements within that. And then there mm-hmm. are, like, the enforcement of capital and property. And that's the function of the police and, like, its role within the state and how it wields itself. So are there psychiatric institutions or elements of the institution, like the institutions of, like, mental health and stuff that are currently still utilized as a form of, you know, carcerality? And, like, the answer is undeniably, like, yes. Whether that's mitigating the factors that, like, whether that's, you know, like a 302 or Baker Act kind of, like, psychiatric hold or psychiatric, not psychiatric hold even, but like a psychiatric,
yeah,
like institutionalization or rendition of someone into confinement for a state of mental illness in institutions that, like, strips them of their agency to advocate for themselves, like that sort of thing is obviously, like, carceral and stuff. But, and then, you know, one can even make arguments that, like, a lot of modern psychiatry or modern therapy, like, conditions people to allow them to work past the malaise that society, you know, necessarily imparts upon a person through the very normal reaction to immiseration and stuff. But at the same mm-hmm. time, it's like people who don't necessarily feel, like, clinically, like, unable to function and stuff under the regime of capital are not necessarily being, like, immiserated or more alienated from their labor and stuff. Like, more alienated, like, as a subject than people who are, like, functioning well. Like, they're not people who have, like, woken up from the matrix and, like, because they are, like, specifically, like, depressed or unable to, like, have executive function under capital and stuff. Like, that critique is everyone within that. And psychiatry is, you know, a palliative kind of care that, like, many would accuse of allowing people to function a little more smoothly in situations where they otherwise, like, would be drowning in that system. And that the system yeah. also does require people to drown within it, kind of, because, like, desperation is kind of part of that, like, coercive nature of capital that exists.
Yeah, but, like, this is where I think there is some, like, there's validity to the idea that in as much as some psychiatric illness isn't just a biological basis for it. Mm-hmm. There's also massive, like, social environmental factors.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, okay, you could say, well, you know, maybe if people didn't live under capitalism, you wouldn't need your antidepressant or your fucking little whatever. But what the fuck is the point of saying a thing like that? Like,
it's not that it's even necessarily, like, that wrong and stuff. It's just like, okay, well, I mean, it's just like that is like kind of a function that is not where anarchism is at right now, and that if the means of anarchist critique like are not going to actually result in the transformation of a society, then they're necessarily then that necessarily means that people will be suffering until that like society is transformed in an anarchist way. And if we're talking about doing like the kind of prefigurative thing, that's where like the whole community care, like networks of like communal care sort of thing come into the factor, is like this like the idea of like making reality possible that you want in the present, like as like the prefiguration of how things will be in the future. But like I think that is so nebulous that I don't know that it offers like a parallel
It's not only
infrastructure
nebulous,
for
but
it.
it's.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay. We're being communal and caring here.
Yeah.
I wanted to say it's not only nebulous, like, it fucking fails so often. How often do anarchist spaces let down people who are vulnerable or
Right.
platform people who are unpleasant or unkind or abusive? And there are any layers from just normal social order type things to hiding abusers, just letting that happen. Not letting it happen, but knowing that somebody did, I don't know, like calling things conflict processes, in because anything out any other sort of addressing it would be carceral or not anarchist or not cool, man.
Right.
But we can't, we are generally, and I'm generalizing too much off of personal observations, but I wouldn't say that anarchists, even in the small ability to like have functioning social networks that take care of each other, are succeeding. And by that logic, how are you going to replace something on a mass scale?
I mean, I think on some level. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that a prefiguration can necessarily replicate anything at a mass scale, if that's what we're going to talk about. I think anarchists generally are not able to resolve or solve conflict in these kind of situations well, because they are still very much locked into the kind of ideas of like winners and losers in those sort of things. And like the reality of things, like anarchists either, I think, either go with completely like clean cut instances of exile, of social exile, or basically ignoring the problem if it's inconvenient to ignore it. Or inconvenient to acknowledge it, rather. And there's not a lot of middle ground and stuff, and there's not a lot of, I guess, like, ability for anarchists to deal with the uncomfortable fact that, like, okay, well, then something exists in the middle where, like, people have to still kind of coexist in such a way, because, like, the idea of just expulsing bad actors completely and cutting them off from anything that like holds them socially accountable to other people, and like other people being accountable to them and stuff, only creates like kind of more isolated people. But like also like only creates like more isolated people who are able to act entirely atomized in a way that they're acting without like questioning their own ability or capacity to like engage in like destructive behavior to themselves or others or stuff like that. And it doesn't mean that like we need to like be retaining people, but like the answers thus far are either to ignore problems or expel problems and not actually kind of have to sit with that discomfort of like everyone is on our team or everyone is not on our team and stuff, or our team is flawed. But not like, but not like this kind of zone where our team is flawed and there are tensions, because these are things that like have to exist, and they're uncomfortable. Like it's,
Yeah, and I think that
and like
kind
that's
of.
not an advocacy to like keep people who are just like going out of their way to like be like harmful and like projecting all these like terrible fucking like forms of violence on people onto others. I think, I think on some level too, like anarchists are also fairly unwilling to like embrace a kind of like retributive violence out of some kind of like kind of like out of some, I would say, like maybe like enlightenment or something, but like also are unwilling to like have forms of, I guess, like conflictual talk in a lot of ways too.
Yeah, and I think like that, what I was saying wasn't necessarily like obviously we're bad at this, we suck at this. Maybe there was a little bit of that, but
No, it's
if
fine.
we're talking about mental health or therapy or whatever, it kind of goes to it of like, yeah, somebody might be like, what do you, if we can't even resolve that sort of thing, what do you, how do you, and this is maybe where anarchy, these anarchist sort of approaches towards rebuilding or building alternative social relations work. How do you handle somebody who is mentally ill or has something that is deeply hurting them psychologically and is hurting other people or, yeah, hurting other people because of it? I'm not going to give it the like label that I think everybody would just go for, hey, you have XYZ personality disorder, but definitely
Like I think like
I've met people like that.
psychiatry doesn't have ways to really address personality disorders. Like they're kind of like, I mean, they're basically like the only thing that really works is like kind of years of intensive group therapy and stuff that like seemingly, and like I do think there's like a kind of like medical regime, like a medical regimen that like people do. It's like psychiatric treatment of personality disorders, but a lot of it is also like just like intense group therapy kind of stuff. Like if you're talking about like narcissistic or antisocial personality disorders and stuff, but like psychiatry doesn't even really quite have like good answers to deal with them, and like anarchists cannot address personality disorders by just creating a like a deontology of like, well, if this is how carceral psychiatry addresses personality disorders, which, I mean, by and large, like the way that like anything carceral to do with psychiatry is like maybe people with personality disorders end up institutionalized like in a psychiatric means, but by and large what probably happens to them is they either end up incarcerated, they either end up incarcerated due to the consequences of their personality disorder, or they overwhelmingly face violence brought on by their personality disorder from others. Like the amount of violence that people suffering from mental illness suffer at the hands of other people or the state and stuff, and the amount of trauma that exists within that population of people is far greater than like it's not discrete, and it doesn't mean that they are like only victims or only victimized by violence and incapable of like perpetuating it onto others. It just means that, like, the conditions of living with that much trauma and, like, personality and like those kind of like extreme mental illness, like, often creates the conditions in which one is often existing within interpersonal violence, going both ways, and like that is just kind of a reality of what that looks like. It's ending up in precarious and unstable situations with other precarious and unstable people also suffering, and you end up in these cauldrons of violence with each other.
Yeah, I was thinking about I think this, I mean, like, I was thinking about something like borderline personality disorder, which is interesting because you can make a very easy feminist critique of, like, how this is primarily diagnosed in women, how some of the diagnostic criteria are things like
The best women,
being
all adventurous
promiscuous.
girls do.
Being a bit of a hoe. But like, does cause people actual like suffering in the way that they relate to other people, and also they can hurt other people in the way that they're relating to other people, and maybe that's stuff they don't want to do. Like, I have been acquainted with people who have, I don't know, I'm not gonna like label anyone, but I don't think wanted to be I hate saying things like unstable or harmful or emotionally like unpleasant, but kind of boils down to not being able to keep your shit together, being really mean to people for no reason, but you're also hurting, and it's a disease that's or manifestation, whatever, that's often a trauma response.
Yeah, no,
So
it's all very
it's
much
like,
like created and forged in the conditions of like traumas that leave like deep fears and psychological scars upon people and stuff.
yeah, and that's where I would be interested to see anarchist theory, as it were, if it like applied itself to psychiatry or psychology, psychiatric or psychological disorders, do something that modern psychology or like mainstream psychology can't do, which is offer something other than a normative like diagnosis of, well, you gotta stop being an unstable hoe, and you know, question both the fact that these are very socially fucking like formed views of how a person should act, but also that there are probably underlying behavioral or mental or whatever patterns that are unpleasant for a person to like feel, that can be harmful to the pe that can lead them to be harmful to the people around them when they don't want to be, that
I think also like anarchism cannot like also have such an open embrace of the culture of like diagnosis that exists so prevalently in like kind of like popular therapy culture, because like that diagnosis and that kind of like identification with diagnosis and like the not necessarily like out of an advocacy zone, like I don't mean like that, but like the kind of mimetics of like those sort of like how those diagnoses start to form an image or like a set of behaviors or signifiers and stuff to be commoditized within like the kind of like psyche of like popular culture and stuff becomes like a situation that people like aestheticize, and like it gets distributed into these spaces, and like people carry their, you know, their fear of like, or their fear or their only ability to socially relate is like through understanding people as their diagnosis and like that kind of, I just feel like it creates such a limited ability for people to relate to each other in a space when it's just like doing very horizontal interpersonal like relatings to one's diagnosis with each other.
Right, or something that becomes very commodified and memeified, the idea of being non-neurotypical is immediately comes to mind
Yeah,
because I
an autistic shoddy.
often like I don't know. I understand that that sort of like ability to self-label maybe makes a person feel good or understood in a way. But
It's fine if it becomes like a rubric for one to understand like how they're processing, like how they're processing social or like social or sensory or psychological like situations. Like that, obviously, like that's fine. Like,
yeah,
if
I
it, I
would
mean,
say.
if it, you know, I mean, sometimes maybe it's like kind of pattern matching a little bit, but like if it, if people like can identify with these things and use it as a way to understand and like cope with like form coping strategies for like things that they find like troubling, that does help. But yeah, I don't know, like the way that things become such a very handy dismissal of people, or handy dismissal or explaining away or pathologizing of one's behavior or stuff is just like, I
It's
think,
sort of, oh,
yeah,
sorry.
no, it's okay. It just like kind of creates this like weird culture that I think is like, it's not the carcerality of like the clinic as like the clinic or stuff. But it is create it does create these like weird, I mean, and it's not comparable to obviously like medical, you know, medical imprisonment sort of, but it does create these like kind of very like this kind of like simulacra of like seeing people as the amassings of their, you know, like avatar, like their avatars of like these ways that they relate to each other, rather than like an actual like kind of way of human relating that like accounts for the like manifold factors of one's personality and stuff. And that is a really hard way to relate to people that like isn't easy. And what's easy is to like really just be able to identify with people through the kind of mimetics of their like
Or
pathology or
your
whatever.
own.
Yeah, or your own way of like doing that.
Yeah, and I think that's why this stuff spreads, and I don't think, and it's certainly not like limited to anarchists or whatever. It seems
No, yeah.
pretty just now culturally widespread to the point that it feels like it's almost this way of, like, just this way of trying to, like, interpret instead of just it being a rubric, instead of saying I feel overstimulated under this in this circumstance, and now I kind of know a little bit more about why that happens and how to take care of myself and what I might need, it becomes this overarching way of like interpreting everything, the way you dress, than just a refusal to react or interact with people. Other than like, well, I'm like this, and so it's okay that I act this way, and then almost this performance of being a bit, oh, but I'm like this because I'm like this, and this is my diagnosis, and this shapes everything, which it shapes something, but
Yeah.
it becomes like this totalizing thing that you're like making yourself into, instead of that being one aspect of your way of like relating to the world.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, it's, I don't know. It's
I mean,
tough. Like,
I will.
I mean, like, obviously, too, it's like, that is largely what has, I mean, like, a therapeutic model of, like, coping and validation and stuff for things is, like, largely the frame by which that is how, like, people relate to things in a lot of ways. Or that is the way that they receive, like, therapy in a lot of ways now. And it's good that people are given coping strategies, whether they're medicinal ones or they're, like, you know, like verbal or dialogical or stuff like that. But, like, that sort of like things being like oriented towards that like validation or that validation and coping, I think is generally just how people approach. So like people like do seek to self-soothe in a lot of ways through it, and it does kind of create these like you don't end up in these kind of it's why like a lot of people advocate more for like dialectical behavior therapy in a lot of situations where like it allows one to kind of disrupt that kind of routine of pattern or bias confirmation within oneself to like escape those cycles of like response and stuff and like kind of rewire that in a lot of ways. And I think that can be distributed like fairly horizontally in a way that is like I think what I wish we could see is like an anarchist subculture that does not just do a simple like deontology of like madness as like something like, you know, like madness as like an insurrectionary force. I mean, like in instances where it is, like, obviously, I understand like the poetic emphasis of something like that. Like, obviously, there is like a like the madness of like the deranging and like the deranging of the senses and like the kind of like romanticism of madness, like the whole like, you know, the stuff that like Jason Bavinck-Mohaghegh writes about and stuff, like with that, like the perverted hero sort of thing and stuff like that. And like the perverse and the demented as like this kind of anti-heroic. Obviously, that is always going to be part of the fabric of like what an anarchist is on like a kind of literary or like a literary level or like an atavistic level is like the pervert hero. And it's something I identify with as like a
Pervert hero.
yeah, like not like, you know, not like the gooner side or whatever fuck, but like, you know, but like you know, like the goonercidal maniac. But like no, but like the kind of the kind of like, I mean, it's also like looking at like the kind of like anarchism as like a basically like an oppositional defiance to like a disorder and a diagnosis that is basically at war with authority figures and authority on a near pathological level, which, you know, there's something to be said for that as like being part of the fabric of anarchists. And I think we see a lot less of that sort of figure now, of like just because I do think there is like a prioritization of these kind of like, I think communal care stuff really gets put to the test when there are people who are just like kind of unable to be anything but like nastily contrarian. And
Oh, so
like,
me.
I mean, yeah, I mean, both of us are like that, kind of. And like communal care, I think, works really well with people who want to abide by like that very, communal, and like people associate the kind of ideas of communal care with like a very nurturing and like fairly positive kind of vibe of maybe not like conformity, but like a general like good feeling of like being on the same wavelength. But like I think a lot of kind of de-stratified forms of care really enter difficulty once they start running up against, people that aren't like them and people that aren't capable of acting like them or turning it off for themselves. And it doesn't absolve them of, the antisocialness sometimes that comes about through like being a contrarian and unwilling to like be nice about shit or stuff, or but like that's the hard thing is like I think communal care is just such a like buzzword and stuff that it's so amorphous that like typically I think what it means in a lot of ways is like there is either like the specialists of professional or semi-professional therapy that like distributes therapy to their peer network and like maybe like a pay what you can kind of scale or something, or it means that like everybody on a horizontal level is just kind of doing pop psychology to each other, but like with the social consequencing, they do like pop psychology until someone is bad on some level, and then they do pathological diagnosis on them, and it's like you are either like able to do like pop psychology or like affirming diagnostic therapy to each other as like kind of how you relate to each other until somebody becomes like a kind of manifestation of like a social conflictual person or like a more or less like a personality, a disordered personality and stuff, and then they become like someone worthy of either being ascribed like the conditions of like a pathological carceral disorder or maybe or even just like someone manifesting like some amount of evil. Like evil within themselves and like a very like kind of like a Manichaean kind of thought of like evil rather than like something. Like there's a point where like that sort of politeness goes out the window and people are disposed of in that way. And that's I think how a lot of communal care exists because communal care kind of needs to have infrastructure for people. I don't know. Whenever I think of the kind of communal care thing, I think of something in like Through the Valley of the Nest of Spiders by Samuel Delaney. Like in like the latter half of the book, or not even the latter half, like it's like I think it's like set in like at this point in the arc of the story, probably around like 2060 or like 2080 maybe, where like there it's not like ruins because there's not a cataclysm, it's just kind of a rundown part of town that was like shacks basically on like a Superfund site that was like used to be like a planned utopian gay men's community. Ooh, sorry, I'm sure you can hear my cat throwing up. Oh wow, oh my god, holy moly, get a shovel.
This is what this podcast is all about, too.
Sorry. Jesus Christ.
You okay over there?
wow. But no, there's a scene in which the protagonist encounters like a group of like kind of like squatters like wandering through this old area in which they like used to live together. encounters this like kind of traveling group of like squatters that are like passing through, and notes like, they're kind of like all like rather than like gay men, a lot of them are like kind of trans masculine or like I guess like kind of like very butch or like just kind of generally like queer people. And then there is like a character with like a baby and like a baby Bjorn and stuff, and he's like talking, he's like, I'm a psychopath and stuff, and he's like, but he's like talking on like a medical sense, and like they're referring to it, and like I talked about this with a friend. I was like, what do you think like the emphasis was of like having the person who's like identifies as like a like a sociopath or like a psychopath, like why do they have like a baby like strapped to them basically? And it's basically their answer was like, oh, it just like is sh shown to emphasize like that like communities need to like in like these forms of communal care that like would exist in like kind of like survival, that like communities need to like still find roles and ways for people to like remain connected to them despite like find like roles and activities for people to remain connected and part of like a valued sense of their community for them despite like being like at the mercy and suffering with these like kind of horribly like these kind of like horribly what like kind of debilitating mental illnesses or stuff like that or like mental conditions, but like not like removing them from social life, but like integrating them fully into the lived existence and stuff of like communal living with each other. And I think that is a really sweet sentiment in an otherwise filthy book because it's just 800 pages of like shit-eating gay pornography. It's fucking crazy. But like that, and like nothing bad happens to that baby. The guy's just carrying the baby like while they like walk through a city. But like yeah, no, it's like I was just like, oh, like that's why do you think he like emphasized that? Because he doesn't really name it explicitly, but I think it's literally just that. It's like from what my friend told me, it's like that people need to still be integrated into like familial bands and stuff, and not just be like exiled to basically the BPD chamber or something for like to like live out their life, basically as like a unable to be interacted with. And
Or being interacted with only but in the context of their diagnosis and letting that be an excuse to treat somebody poorly because,
yeah, I wish that anarchist mental health stuff did not look so much like self-help under capitalism stuff, but I think I've talked about that before. It's just that like so much of it is just like how do I do this under capitalism kind of, and it's just I think it's just tedious, and like it demands so little of the possible and stuff in a lot of ways, like it doesn't like imagine something larger.
No, it doesn't end. It often just, I don't know. I don't want to say excuses, but it almost just acts as a sort of justification, a never-ending justification for a way in which one lives one's life, which is, instead of just, I don't know, approaching that with more authenticity, instead it's almost this constant disclaimer, I'm doing X under capitalism. I'm doing my best. Oh, my mental health is bad, but it's under capitalism. And after a while, it feels like it just is a, again, like struggle is real, but there are ways in which one almost self-immiserates oneself by just constantly focusing on the fact that there is the social conditions are oppressive instead of joyfully, like how trying to have a joyful life under them or trying to have a joyful life that you carve out for yourself.
I mean, like, I feel like that same crowd, like, looks down on, like, dropout culture super hard. And it's like, oh, well, I mean, like, okay, well, then I guess continue to, just cope, I suppose. Like, it doesn't feel like a particularly, like, big picture and stuff. It feels like a very small envisioning. And, like, I don't know. I don't want to, like, I mean, I'd be naming the same authors I often just kind of pick on and stuff. It'd be like the way that like people are basically writing like self-help about like mutual aid or love or mutual aid or love or like practical anarchism, not to name a bunch of people's books by like Dean Spade or Shuley Branson or stuff like that, or Cindy Milstein's like endless listicles of how to fucking do such and such under under like Christo-fascism or something. Like, I don't know. They're not like they feel like weirdly small kind of
It is,
things.
I think it is very small, and it is a so form of self-indulgence, but again, a form of self-immiseration. And partly, again, this is from interacting a bit ago with a kind of a group of people, an affinity group that was very into that sort of thing. And it, I'm going to sound a little cheesy here, but it was almost like a form of like ritualistic self-harm to them, but also self-validation of, oh, well, we need to take care of each other, but we didn't. But also, like, this is XYZ under capitalism. I'm sad because of capitalism. I'm sad because of the state of the world. I'm lamenting this. And it's just never ending and ending lamenting and justification for things that don't necessarily need to be justified instead of, again, living your life more authentically or joyfully, or some cringy fucking wingnut dishwasher union type song type of shit, where you're like, yeah, I'm mad about the world, but I'm really happy and I'm in love. I don't know where I'm going with this, and
Yeah,
I hate
man.
my little voices, so I'm sorry,
Yeah, no,
but.
you're giving fucking Pat the Bunny the fucking what for right now.
But it just seems like you're just hurting yourself in this way of like, for what, punishing yourself for not suffering enough. And I think that was what I saw about that group, was like they would have the sense of, well, I benefit from being a member of the global north, the being an American or whatever. So, and that hurts. And like, yeah, I guess there's a sense of moral hazard, of moral loss there, but there's also like, why do you want to suffer so badly? And why can't you
I have
let,
empathy fatigue.
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. There's a lot to that. I think in I don't know if this is like a very like Jacobin ass, like Jacobin magazine ass like kind of sentiment, but I think in the like absence of having any kind of like means of acting for material control, like people often I think sublimate the kind of way that they perform activism into like feelings. And it doesn't mean that it needs to become like the terrain for fighting that is like necessarily like electoralism or like mass politics or something and stuff to like make material change or even like some kind of organizing and stuff. Like you can do like direct action without it being necessarily like join an org kind of stuff. But like for it to just entirely be like how do I mitigate the feelings of impurity in like a impure world, I think is like I think is like kind of the way in which like a very therapized culture manifests more now than it does as a like as a, like I think that is like the kind of one like the like one hand like it's like the one hand of psychiatry or like mental health as an institution now is like giving you that as like the carrot and like the stick is still the ability to wield like this you know the psychiatric kind of carcerality and stuff that exists like on like a more like you know on like a really embodied like physical experience of you know psychiatric rendition imprisonment what's the condition what not the condition but what's the like psychiatric conservatorship I was going to say the thing they did to Britney
The thing they did to Britney, free Britney.
yeah
Yeah, I mean, and all of that is, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Did you have more thoughts on this? Also, like the what else is a like ACAB? I think people need to sharpen that critique. Like people need to
No, I
sharpen like things just simply being cop-like. It's like if you're like pretty much anything can be if it's like basic function is to uphold and maintain like some amount of property. It doesn't mean that like or like some amount of property and like the enforcement of it through the means of like violence weaponized by the state. But like people need to like stop understanding like what is like what things are ACAB like. Like I think people like think about like is this ACAB and stuff in the way that they think about like is Sabra Hummus BDS or like you know what I mean like it's not like
Sabra
a
Hummus ACAB?
well it's not like a is this institution like okay to like be a part of without like without like being becoming a like a scab or something or like scabbing on this boycott like. It, like it's like ACAB in this sense is like is this a spiritual boycott that like refuses us to allow one to engage with these kind of like institutional forces? Because it's like oh yeah, is like are social workers ACAB? It's like I don't know. I well I mean I again I forget how ACAB is being used. It's like yeah, I don't know. Like most social workers. Probably are capable in equal measure of like connecting someone with resources that will improve immediate suffering in their life, but also can like probably like yield like wield some amount of like institutional carcerality that like can enact violence upon people. Just like you know, just like teachers can necessarily on some level, just like most any property owner or business owner or private citizen is capable of doing any of that. So like one it doesn't mean that like you should just do anything because it's all bad and all good. It doesn't mean like that, but it's also just like if the ultimate like nexus of evil is just like is this thing a cop and stuff, it's like do you understand like that cops are also just like an organ of function of a much larger totality and
It's about
like
neuroticism and purity
yeah
at some point, rather than actual critique. And I
yeah
mean, like, there's certainly like
the cop in
points where
my
one could have
the cop
the
in my
cop
head
mind.
is the cop in my head is just a tumor
Oh no. Let's see.
Oh, the one thing I wanted to mention too is I was listening to recordings of like Diane DePrima earlier this week, and I'll include it. I don't know when they'll put it in here. Maybe they won't at all. But there's a Diane
We've gone
DePrima
long.
at like Naropa Institute or something in the I forget when, but it's like Revolutionary Letter 19, and like throughout that, there's like her critiquing like the control society and like the means of like, I mean, she's like, you know, she's pretty explicitly like talking about like being like kind of anti-vax in this too. She's like, you shoot germs into your children's arms, like to put money in the pockets of
Well, Merck
Merck.
and Co. goes work we get richer.
Yeah, but it's like, yes, exactly that line, exactly. But it's just like, I'm just like, yeah, I was like gonna sample. I sampled a different Diane De Prima thing for like a music piece I was working on. But like, I was like, oh, I could like run this sample, but then everyone might think I'm like an anti-vaxxer or something, which is like fair enough. But like, I was just like, oh, right, like Diane De Prima, you know, is, I mean, she's an anarchist, like. She had been for years through like a kind of like fairly non-anarchist popularity time, during a period where like forms of like Maoist Marxism and stuff was like very much the like fashionable current. Like she was part of an anarchist milieu for a very long time, and is offering these kind of critiques, and I feel like if you brought it up now, most people would be like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just like very not comfortable with like the way that she talks about, like, you know, like it's just like it raises a lot of like kind of red flags for me. I was like, all right, yeah, I don't know. Like
I'm uncomfortable. We can talk about this at the not the struggle session because that would make us Maoist, but the conflict bowl.
yeah.
On that note.
Yeah. Oh, God. The conflict bowl. What? I'm thinking of it. What's the Gil Scott-Heron line? It's like, oh,
The
fuck.
conflict bowl will not be televised? I don't know.
No, it's like something like the, oh, fuck. It's something about like the toilet bowl, but I can't remember. It's all a
I
toilet bowl.
turn the conflict bowl into the toilet bowl.
I'm just thinking about poets tonight, I guess. All right. Well, good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you all. This is Vale. That is Larkspur. And
Bye.
yeah. Good night.
Good night.
If what you want is jobs for everyone, you are still the enemy. You have not thought through clearly what that means. If what you want is housing, industry, GE on the Navajo reservation, a car for everyone, garage, refrigerator, TV, more plumbing, scientific freeways, you are still the enemy. You have chosen to sacrifice the planet for a few years of some science fiction utopia. If what you want still is or can be schools where all our kids are pushed into one shape, are taught it's better to be American than black or Indian or Jap or Puerto Rican, where Dick and Jane become and are the dream. Do you look like Dick's father? Don't you think your kid secretly wishes you did? If what you want is clinics where the AMA can feed you pills to keep you weak or sterile, shoot germs into your kid while Merck and Co. grows richer. If you want free psychiatric help for everyone, so that the shrinks, pimps for this decadence can make it flower for us. If you still want a piece, a small piece of suburbia, green lawn laid down by the square foot, color TV whose radiant energy kills brain cells, whose subliminal ads brainwash your children, have taken over your dreams. Degrees from universities, which are nothing more than slum landlords, festering sinks of lies, so you too can go forth and lie to others on some greeny campus. Then you are still the enemy. You are selling yourself short. Remember, you can have what you ask for. Ask for everything.
Si forma cultura, tiene ramas, tiene elementos. El primero lo lleva a cabo el DJ, como yo, ese personaje imprescindible que hace vibrar el cuerpo de los adictos al hip hop. Con sus platos giratorios, sí, va mezclando sonidos por sonidos con precisión, va haciendo ese arte un espectáculo para toda la población. Segundo elemento, monitoreado por el B-Boy, con sus bailes sensacionales, va cultivando la atención del público, tanto por abajo como por arriba, va haciendo que cabeza, tronco, extremidades funcionen en completa armonía. Sí, sí, sí. Ahora, deleitando la vista, el pintor de graffiti plantea en nuestras paredes una crónica social y cultural, para que sean vistas por todos sin tener que pagar. Estas son obras maestras, no garabatos como algunos incultos lo suelen llamar. ¿O es que para que sean obras maestras tienen que ser expuestas en museos? No, preferimos pintarlo en los muros de nuestras calles a donde pertenecemos. Cuarta manifestación representada por el en sí, haciendo mezcla de palabras con notas musicales, diciendo crónicas sociales, describiendo momentos duros por los que pasamos. Mis respetos para los reales, el Gijón nació de las calles. DJs, graffiti, B-Boy y los MCs definen quiénes somos, qué queremos, por qué existimos, nuestras aspiraciones, nuestras frustraciones. La única manera de sobrevivir, escuchando. La sociedad no cambiará el sentido de lo que somos. Estamos aquí para cambiar el sentido de la sociedad. Una vez más, L3 y 8, inciso A, fueron DJ Yari, DJ Lady en busca de la paz.